The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Colm Bourig, a broadcaster from Off the Ball, joins me. Colm, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
There was rugby and there was rugby. It was the URC that nobody kind of watched.
No, not really. On Friday night, it just kind of caught everyone out. Leinster went up to Ulster and won. And they had a few internationals in the side and all that. But at the same time, the Republic of Ireland were playing Wales in the Euro 25 playoff first leg. And there was also Premier League on with Brighton and Southampton. So what a way to start the weekend.
Yeah.
Then you were here all weekend, of course.
I didn't manage to see very much of the Australia match, unfortunately.
But you still caught a bit of it. You still caught a glimpse.
I did. In my prep for my 5 o'clock start, I managed to catch a little bit of it. But I couldn't kind of assess it. So Prendergast versus Crowley. Crowley came on late.
Yeah.
And then Casey came on for Jemison Gibson-Park.
Yes, yeah, and both did well. And in fact, I would say all four did well. It was a really disjointed Ireland display, which is kind of a summary of how the November series went. I mean, look, they won 3 from 4, so there was the New Zealand aberration. But the performances were so clunky, and there were 28 handling errors against Australia on Saturday, which was the most of all the four games. And they had obvious handling errors in all four of those games.
So what excuses are they offering for all these handling errors?
Well, it hasn't been explained.
It wouldn't have been typical of them.
No, it's very atypical. And I was at the game on Saturday, and the first bad handling error was pretty much immediate. And you know what my first emotion was? Unsurprised. Lack of reaction, because it's almost like a disease that's set into this squad now. And look, that's Andy Farrell's last game until the back end of next year, because he takes a sabbatical. He's going to become the British and Irish Lions coach. So Simon Easterby will take over for the Six Nations. And the first game in the Six Nations is against England in Dublin on the 1st of February, which is only 9 weeks away. So in 8 weeks' time, the squad will meet again. And it's funny because Sam Prendergast may not play that much for Leinster. Like, there's a world where Leo Cullen picks Ross Byrne, but Prendergast could still be...
Or Frawley, indeed.
Or Frawley, and Ross and Prendergast could still be starting against England in the Six Nations. It is mad the way we've all fallen into this kind of number 10 fight. And ultimately, it's a good thing, because for the World Cup in 2.5 years' time, we should have options. But right now, it all feels disjointed and clunky. And I think that was on show against Australia.
Okay, anyway, we won 3 out of 4.
Yep.
But the one we wanted to win, we didn't win.
I know, the first one,
against
yeah.
the All Blacks.
And I think had we beaten the All Blacks, I think the rest of it would have been a lot of experimentation with different players against the likes of Argentina and Fiji. But because the New Zealand game was so disappointing, both the performance and result aspect, they had to go full gung against Argentina, and they did, and they won. But it wasn't too convincing. Fiji were awful, and Australia, we kind of got over the line. In a much changed Australia side, they've debuted, I think, 19 players under Joe Schmidt in 2024, and they were very good at times. I mean, they were ahead, I think, was it 13-5 at halftime, Australia, at the weekend. And Ireland did improve after. And look, we outscored them 3-1. So it was good in the end.
Now, you were there. What kind of reception did Joe Schmidt get?
It was good. He came on the big screen, but I think Australia had just scored a try. So the applause were muted a bit. So had we been beating them well, I think he would have got a much bigger cheer. But no, there were cheers for him. And I think not all is forgiven for what happened in 2019, his last year as Ireland boss. But I think people realise where he took Ireland from when he took over.
Let's talk Premier League and Manchester United 4-0 against Everton.
The good times are back, Pat.
Well, I know, I hesitate. But it took an own goal on the 33rd minute to start the flow.
Yeah, and inevitably, and from there under Amorim, there's a kind of confidence to set in already under 3 games and like 4 goals. Rashford and Joshua Zirkzee scoring twice each, and Zirkzee's been much maligned so far, but even the way he took his second goal was beautiful, the way he opened up his body and found the far corner. And it just goes to show like the level of quality that Zirkzee has, but he just hasn't been able to showcase that at Manchester United at all. His confidence is shot, and you can say that for large portions of that Man United squad. Amad Diallo, who was on loan at Sunderland, came back with United, was playing sporadically under Erik ten Hag, was fantastic.
Yeah. So it looks like this competitive thing that Amorim has set up, in other words, everyone is being assessed for their place in the team. It kind of it's working.
It's the correct way to treat this squad, I think, who have been not mollycoddled for a long time, but I don't think there's enough reprimanding done for poor displays. And I think Ten Hag just kind of lost it last season with the number of defeats, and it got away from him. Amorim has a system, and it's up to the players to align to that system. And if they don't, they're out. But he's going to stay with his 3-4-3.
Aston Villa, having started the season well, their woes continue.
I don't know what's happening with Unai Emery's
3-0
side.
3-0 to Chelsea.
Yeah, and Chelsea have been fantastic because, you know, they were the laughing stock of the Premier League in August. They lost the first game of the season against Manchester City, funnily enough. But since then, they've largely been fantastic. And that was the case of Stamford Bridge against Villa, who, look, did have chances. Ollie Watkins had two big ones that he should have dispatched. But Chelsea were free-flowing by the end of it. Cole Palmer got another great goal. And I don't know what's happening at Villa. Maybe they're distracted with the Champions League. They had a 0-0 at home to Juventus midweek last week where they had what they thought was the winning goal in the last kick of the game ruled out ultimately. I think they'll be fine. I do. I'd actually fear for Man City, but in terms of Aston Villa, I think they'll turn this around and they're just adjusting to life at the top.
Now, what about the Spurs? I mean, they were a goal up, then Fulham levelled, then the goal scorer sent off, and Spurs really should have finished them off, but they didn't. It stayed 1-1.
What did Alex Ferguson once say? Lads, it's Tottenham. And that was his only team talk. And he walked into the room when United played Spurs. That's what they do. Look, Spurs lost to Ipswich at home. Then they beat Manchester City 4-0 at the Etihad.
Sure, everyone's beating Manchester City.
I know, but Pat, they went 4-0 at Manchester, even by this city standard, is pretty incredible. And then they go and entertain Fulham. And I mean entertain on paper. They're at home. And that's where the entertainment stopped. And they draw 1-1. And it's just so typical of Spurs. You can't trust them.
Now, the big one, of course, was Liverpool, Manchester City go to Anfield. And a disaster for them.
Well, on paper, it was 2-0. It was like, okay. But they destroyed them. Liverpool annihilated Manchester City. Pep Guardiola picked a strange starting 11. And he does this sometimes. But he had Matheus Nunes on the left. They signed him from Wolves and he's been really underwhelming. So they pick him and they have Kevin De Bruyne on the bench and Jeremy Doku and Jack Grealish and Savinho. Way more exciting attacking players. I think he went to condense the side. He had Bruno Fernandes and Ilkay Gundogan in midfield and Rico Lewis on the right. But it just didn't work at all. Man City's first shot in the game on or off target was the 39th minute, which is the longest they've taken to have a shot on goal since April 2010 in a game.
Now, speaking of shots on goal, 1-1 to the women against Wales. They went to Wales, and now the Welsh come to the Aviva on Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow,
So, a good performance, I thought.
Yeah, it was very competitive. I mean, it could have gone either way. So, 1-1 at half-time was about fair enough. Then Wales had three chances in the second half, largely speculative. But the big chance of the second half was Ireland's only opportunity, which was Caitlin Hayes, the defender, had a volley, which is tipped over the bar. And afterwards, Hayes said, if that was Katie McCabe having that shot, it probably would have gone in and we would have won the game. But it's all set up tantalisingly. Remember, Republic of Ireland women's team have never qualified for a European Championship before. Wales have never qualified for a major tournament before. These are very, very, I would say, level teams. They're about the same in terms of quality. And Eileen Gleeson, the Ireland manager, her future is going to be dictated whatever happens tomorrow night.
And there could be 30,000 people there.
There could, yeah. There are 30,000 sold already, so there's more tickets available and it's going up all the time. And I expect, because of what happened on Friday night, more people will buy tickets, for sure.
Now, talk to me about the new rules in Gaelic football.
They've all passed everything. So that was the trial games in the Railway Cup at the end of October and all the four provinces played each other. So the only thing that wasn't up for motion was the 4 points for a goal. That's off the table to begin with. They weren't going to that. But everything else, so it's going to be 2 points outside the 40 metre arc.
What was the reservation about the 4 points for a goal?
Too much reward.
Because, I mean, goals are so scarce.
Yeah, too
much.
You'd
imagine that.
So you had the Armagh All-Ireland winning captain, Aidan Forker, was playing with Ulster during these trial games. And afterwards he said, 4 is too much, 3-2-1 should be the way we go with the points. So it'll still be 3 for a goal and it will still be 1 point inside the 40 metre arc. But the big difference, of course, is the introduction of the reward of 2 points outside the new 40 metre arc.
Yeah.
Another thing that will pass, big thing on descent. So if you speak back to the referee, he'll move it up 50 metres, which is significant.
Yeah.
So you get a huge advantage there. Only captains are allowed to talk to referees now. There's a new advanced mark will come in. There is only one player from each side able to contest the throw-in. So Gaelic football in 2025 will be hugely different at all levels as well. So this is going to affect every level of the game.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds.
Well, I'd be really interested to see how referees deal with all this, especially at club level, at junior level, and see what happens. But this time next year,
are they going to have to paint the arcs and all
everything?
The pitches,
and also the countdown clock and the hooter is coming in. So the hooter will go off at the end of the half. So every club around the country is going to have to invest in a hooter. No, and the clock that goes down.
The countdown is absolutely fantastic. It's about time.
I actually massively agree with you. And we had a debate about that.
Are they going to stop the clock,
this morning,
by the way, for incidents?
I don't think so. I think it
because
will roll.
In rugby, it's great.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
they
yeah.
stop the clock. You can see the clock all the time. 40 minutes, that's it.
Exactly.
When the last play continues. And will they continue with the play or will the hooter be definitive?
The play will continue. I know, so with the hooter, when the hooter makes the noise,
everyone
hooting,
stops.
Everyone will stop.
So you have your boot up in the air about to hit a ball into the
but
back
the
of the net.
But the players will know because they'll see the clock counting down. And that's what's fascinating. It'll be a New Year's countdown every game.
I'm looking forward to it.
That will be brilliant.
I mean, some sports have changed things. If you remember, it used to be 3 points for a try in rugby.
Exactly. It used to be
then
two,
it became four and now it's five.
Used to be 2 points for a win in football.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.